So I mentioned earlier that Manitoba Premier Wab Kanu has declared a state of emergency. Nothing in Saskatchewan yet, but Premier Scott Moe is going to be on the 1:30 briefing today with the Saskatchewan Public Safety Agency. So they are answering questions. They're providing some statements. And so we might hear something more this afternoon. Again, that's 1:30. The SPSA is providing that update. But boy, there are so many communities in the north that are affected by this. Lots of communities that have lost cabins and trailers and campgrounds as well, as we follow along with this. J. Smith fire burning north of Missinippi has been growing significantly, grew overnight. It's now over 2,600 hectares. So they're putting together a burn plan near Brabant Lake. The Pissiu fire, which is west of LaRonge, has doubled in size. Hall Lake has been evacuated. Lac La Ronge Indian Band notes that some cabins have been lost. The Pelican 2 blaze, which is burning northeast of Pelican Narrows, now growing in size. They're working to protect the substation. There's a power station just north of that community. They're working on that. The Club fire, which is north of Creighton, we've talked a bit about that. There's a mine site there. There's a co-op bulk fuel site there, Highway 106. So, you know, I mean, that's the challenge in lots of these. There's a fire burning west of Christopher Lake that's not contained. Wolf fire, not contained. Efforts there. There's a mine site close to that that they're worried about. Blaze burning near Canoe Lake First Nation. So lots of communities and First Nations, some resort communities and some home communities to people. So we're thinking of you this morning, and thank you to everyone that is texting in and sharing some thoughts. It's you can tell when people are texting in, you can tell the fear, the worry, the anxiety in what they're talking about. Ralph from Prince Albert, all the lakes around Pipperell Lake that my dad took me fishing and I took my kids fishing are all burnt. We have a place at Pipperell. I have no idea when we will see it or when we'll be allowed back up there. But, you know, Ralph's text is a good example of how people are feeling. I see a text here from Brett saying, you know, with all of the reports that ATVs can start fires and drones are causing water bombers to be grounded, why aren't they completely banning them completely, or at least temporarily completely, in the forest? I expect we'll hear from the SPSA on drones. That was a big problem in Manitoba. They actually had to ground the water bombers for a short period of time because looky-loos were wanting to get great drone video. Like, give me a break. We need to use a little bit of common sense. The ATV thing, I mean, that's a pretty standard mode of transportation. The challenge with ATVs is, of course, they don't stay on the gravel road. They're in the areas where they can be dry. I don't know if there's ever been talk about banning them there. Certainly, they're asking people to exercise care and caution when they're out using it. But again, lots of great videos being presented. We appreciate that. Like, such graphic video and pictures that are coming in with plumes of smoke. And in many cases, ominous in the background. 1-877-332-8255. Phone lines are open, and they're going to stay open until 10 o'clock. So happy and always grateful to get your texts on wildfires. There's lots of other stuff going on. How about this news? You remember last week we had Nadine Ness on the show. Nadine is the founder and president of Unified Grassroots. So this is the group that are having the conversations, if you will. They had organized a number of town hall conversations in the province of Saskatchewan on the notion of getting a better deal from Ottawa and should Saskatchewan separate. So this is the Saskatchewan version, if you will, of what's going on in Alberta. They are much further ahead in this discussion in Alberta. We now know that a series of these, what were called Saskatchewan sovereignty town hall gatherings, have been canceled by the Royal Canadian Legions across the province. They were set to have 18 different events around Saskatchewan, talking about and having an online petition to negotiate new terms with Ottawa or to look at separating from Canada. But the Royal Canadian Legion came out with a statement saying the town halls are political in nature, We won't get involved or promote it. The organization's public calls for action, like Saskatchewan separation, do not align with our founding principles and the promotion of Canadian unity. I can't say I'm shocked. Can you? If you think about the legions, like just think about the legions, and this is more a bit of a talk on ideology. The legions essentially set up and represent all of those in Canadian history that have fought for our country, the freedom of our country, the unity of our country, everything that goes with that. And often when we talk about this, people are quick to chime in about their ancestors who fought for Canada and their frustration with this notion of separation. So it's not shocking that the Royal Canadian Legion has said, you know, yeah, we booked these, but now that we know clearly what's going on and what's being talked about, no, we're not going to do this. I'm not shocked. I'm surprised if you are shocked at that. Maybe you want to chat about that. 1-877-332-8255. Whatever is on your mind, the phone lines are open for you. We'll take a break and we'll be back with open phones and open texts here on 650 CKOM, 980 CJME. Welcome to Thursday morning, Evan Gray. Great to have you here, and hopefully your day is going well, and the sunshine, boy, is sure going to make for a nice day in much of the province today as we make our way closer to the weekend. We also, of course, have been turning our attention regularly what's happening with the wildfires in that kind of north and to the north end of the central region in the province, north of Prince Albert. Lots of wildfires being fought, and we've been bringing on guests. We'll continue to welcome your calls, your texts on it as well. In fact, on that note, I want to jump on the phone line for a second and talk with our friend Tom in Choiceland. What are you seeing out your window today, Tom?
Well, when the wind picks up during the day, it's not smoky, but last night it was pretty smoky here.
Yeah, for sure. I'm guessing you're close enough there that you would really be feeling it. You actually used to help with the fires back in the day, right, Tom?
Yes, I worked on these fires, and I'm going to blame Mr. Moe on this because he dismantled what used to be the fire center in Prince Albert that controlled everything. They know what's going on, right? And I used to haul equipment, and I used to haul water to all these forest fires. And then I drank or even hauled potable water to some of these fires for people to drink.
Right.
And then Mr. Moe makes his plan where let the fires burn, like up north, eh? That's where that plan come in. It's natural. Let it burn. That's fine. Until it's going to get close to one of the northern communities up there, now you're going to try and stop a big forest fire.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now it's out of control.
Well, forestry management, we know, has been under criticism, and it goes beyond just our province. We saw, of course, this was very much the news with that Jasper fire last year and how forests are managed. We've had people from the forestry industry in to talk a little bit about that. And I hate to say it, but I'm this far in now, so I'm going to. But there's a lot of environmental regulations that in what I've heard from some of the experts maybe fly in the face of what is considered by others precautionary risk mitigation efforts when you're dealing with some of the tinder, some of those old dead trees and the stuff that is so flammable in those forests. Not dealing with that, not clearing it out can be a challenge. So forest management absolutely is at the forefront of what we're talking about. Speaking of Premier Moe, we will be hearing from him when the Saskatchewan Public Safety Agency holds their next news conference at 1:30 this afternoon. So they'll be giving an update, making a statement. The Premier will be there as well. So will this be a state of emergency for the province? That's what Manitoba did. They've had 17,000 plus people that have had to evacuate from their home, from their community, and be put somewhere else in the province. Some of them actually making their way into Saskatchewan. As we learned, they picked up their RV, hooked it up to their truck, and they're looking to set down in Madge, for example, at some of the different parks on the east side of the province. 1-877-332-8255. We're happy to take your thoughts, your calls, your texts, and boy, we're getting a lot of pictures. Lots of people that are wanting to share what things look like in their neck of the woods, and even just sharing thoughts. So I got a text here from Shelley, who's a cabin owner at Candle Lake. 60-plus years ago, my parents took their small, young children to the beautiful forest of Candle Lake, Saskatchewan. We spent several years renting a cabin at Trapper Joe's. Then in the early 70s, our parents purchased a lot in the Sackett's subdivision, placed a trailer on the lot until they were able to build their dream cottage in the woods in 1980. Our parents are both gone now, but the cottage remains in our family, my siblings, myself, my daughter, watching the daily updates of the Shoe wildfire and hoping and praying that things will improve and the firefighters can keep this monstrous fire from coming into the village and destroying everything in its path. On Wednesday, they actually spent time there gathering up items from the cottage, taking them back to Saskatoon. But yeah, it's, you know, Shelley, thanks for the text, because it, man, I'm telling you, that pulls out. You can see the emotion in this as well. And at the bottom of her text, thanking firefighters and village personnel and everyone else who's desperately trying to save this community. Lots of people weighing in on all of the communities that we are seeing who are in desperate situations where they have had to evacuate without knowing what the situation is going to look like for their homes going forward. Let's go back to the phone line. I've got Wayne calling in, Wayne north of LaRonge. Thanks so much for calling in. What are you seeing this morning, Wayne?
Well, we're not under any threat. Of course, you had the fire west of LaRonge, but I think the thing that a lot of people don't really realize is the fire season really hasn't started yet. I mean, most of our fire is created by lightning storms,
right?
And you know, so far there's been very little storm activity. But the other thing I want to comment on is the caller before me, and he criticized the SAS party for the initial burn policy discontinuing it. That's totally wrong. It was the NDP in 2005 that discontinued the natural burn, you know, the initial fire suppression, which is still hasn't been reinstated, which is totally wrong. But it was the NDP that started this, and quite honestly, that's one of the things that should happen again is, you know, we should be putting more resource into initial fire suppression, because this is really, instead of just letting things burn out of control and protecting communities. And last summer, for example, I mean, we were just about burned out here. I mean, I was in here, and I think I reported this with myself and another fellow, and we had two people flowing in from the fire cache. We had 17 sprinklers going in the yard. And I mean, in our own situation, that was a fire that had started quite a distance from us, had been allowed to grow. And that is part of the problem in the north, is because they have dropped this initial fire suppression, which I think is really, really important and should be reexamined.
Well, that's, I appreciate you bringing it up, because that perspective from someone like yourself who's had experience with it is helpful, because we're hoping to have someone on from the SPSA tomorrow morning. Obviously, they're very busy and tracking them down and getting them. But at the same time, I think this is an important conversation. So, Wayne, I appreciate your valuable insight.
I've been up here for 5 years, and, you know, I mean, I tell you what, and once you allow these large areas of forest to burn, which has been happening, they're never the same. You know, it'll take a lifetime to get the ecosystem back the way it was. And, of course, you know, to only come in and put sprinklers after a fire is threatening, it just isn't the answer. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're never going to get on top of all these fires, but if you make an initial attempt, that would be of a real benefit and a cost saver, I'm sure, in the long run.
Forestry management, for sure. Thanks, Wayne. Appreciate your call. We'll stay on the phone lines. I want to take Ken's call. Ken's calling in from Saskatoon, weighing in on the wildfire talk that we're having this morning. Ken, thanks for calling.
Yeah, you know, I think we've got this all backwards. Huge fires is the normal thing in the north. That is nature. When they're talking about, well, these forests will never be the same, I'm sorry. Forests want to burn. That is the way that some of those trees reproduce. They have to have that heat. So it's the normal thing. Us trying to stop the fires, I understand why we're doing that, is the abnormal thing. And so we're going to lose more times than we win, especially, and you almost touched on this, the darn environmentalists are making it all. Hey, how about let's do some clear cutting? Clear cutting's off an awful like a forest. You can do some burning through that too. There's other things you can do that's just not allowed, and that's why we get these fires that are uncontrollable. But those are the normal things up there. That's the way nature's supposed to work.
Yeah, Ken, your thoughts, you're not the first person to say this. I actually had someone on the text line earlier essentially saying the same thing. Obviously, where it becomes complicated is when you've got communities. You've got residents, you've got cabins, you've got property, those types of things, mine sites, gas stations, power plants, all of the things that in the natural state of the world, yes, forest fires is a common thing. That's how forests regenerate themselves, all of those things. But it complicates it because we've got human beings doing human being things in those areas. And I think that's why we're obviously following and paying such close attention to it. The notion of the environmental side of it is one I would love to have a guest on, and Libby and I can work on that. These fires obviously will be a topic of conversation for a while because, you know, how do those two things meet and marry up? Are we subjecting ourselves to more danger than need be because we're trying to adhere to some sort of a policy that prohibits us from forest management techniques that might otherwise prevent those fires from burning? So some great callers there on this topic, which is you're the expert. I mean, a guy like Wayne, who's, as he said, lived north of LaRange for the better part of 40 years, this is not new for him. This is something he's dealt with time and time again. And so the perspective that people like Wayne bring to me is so valuable. Okay, we'll take a break. I know there's a lot of people texting about the Legion canceling the hall use for Unified Grassroots, and a lot of people saying they're not surprised that the Royal Canadian Legion, think about what they represent, have had a sober second thought about whether or not they want to rent their halls out to an organization that is essentially not promoting Canadian unity, but looking at separating Saskatchewan from Canada. We'll get to some of your thoughts and texts when we come back here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Thank you to everyone on the text line, like Bob from Pike Lake, who shares a friend of his lost his cabin at East Trout Lake a couple of days ago. So heartbreaking for people involved. We had a texter this morning talking about they had seen white smoke the night before last, and then last night it looked darker, and they were asking, what does that tell us? We heard earlier guests today talk about the fact it can speak to the intensity of the fire. Pete from Craven, who calls himself an old firefighter, said white smoke usually means burning grass or wood. Black smoke can come usually from a structure fire like asphalt or synthetics in the home. But sometimes those intense fires, a couple of people have pointed out, those intense forest fires can have that dark black plume of smoke coming from it as well. I want to go back to the phone line. You know, we talked about the fact that obviously people that are in the area heavily affected by this, but I got Donovan on the line from Mooseman. And Donovan, you're seeing the gray in your sky there as well.
Yes, I am. I'm sitting in a car here at our Ford dealer where I work. And just off in the distance, there's a big mass, like a blob of gray, and it's hard to tell if it's clouds or smoke, but you can smell it, and the heat's starting to crank up, which is a telltale sign. I wanted to follow up on what that guy from Saskatoon mentioned about the fires being natural. I understand that they are natural, man, but at the same time, there is a line in the sand that when crossed, we have to ignore the fact that it's natural and that there's people's lives at stake.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, sure, you can talk about the environmentalists and all that, but at the end of the day, people's houses are going up in flames.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're bang on, Donovan, for sure. Thanks so much for calling in. I want to grab Brady's call as well, calling from Prairie River. Brady, I saw you, I think it texted in earlier. You're seeing a lot of Manitoba plates.
Yeah, no, I texted in there this morning, and like I was saying, it's just the amount of plates that are coming out of Manitoba, right, coming west. You know, you can't, you got to feel bad for these guys. It's heartbreaking, right? Like, the traffic coming through Hudson Bay and area, you know, like, I understand these fires, yeah, they are man-made or natural, right? The bush is the bush. Mother Nature will always win. When it does get overgrown, it's time. It's got to go, right? I mean, yeah, I know these firefighters are doing what they can. Big shout out to Tyrell Francis and his crew of guys up there making fire breaks, doing what they can. You know, all the wildland firefighters, for that matter. It's good to see what they're, you know, everybody coming together in all these communities, doing what they can to save what they can, right?
Yeah.
You know, as for the people coming west, sorry, like you can't imagine what they're going through, not going where you're going, what if you're going to go home to anything. It's heartbreaking.
Heartbreaking for sure. Thanks for sharing that, Brady. And we're a welcoming province for sure. And no matter where evacuees are coming from, whether it's a neighboring province or right here in Saskatchewan, always proud of the work that our communities do to make them feel welcome and comfortable and try and reduce the anxiety while they wait to find out the outcome of what's going on. Just got a text, a number of choppers in the air up around the Candle Lake area as well as they continue to work on what is the largest fire burning just east of that community, the largest fire currently in the province. Very quickly, I want to grab one more call because Ed represents a number of texters who are weighing in on this notion that the Royal Canadian Legion canceled a lot of these unified grassroots town hall meetings. Ed, give me your thoughts on this.
Well, it's their choice. They don't want to host it or not, but they're free to rent it to them because the Legions represent freedom and choices, right? That's what they defended, the Canadian values. And if I recall, there is a Canadian legal framework to allow legal process for to democratically vote out of Canada, to leave Canada, mm-hmm. like Quebec has done a couple times. So in this situation, I don't believe that the Canadian Legion has anything to apologize for, whether hosting or allowing to host, because they're short on funds. They need money, so I don't see why there's a big problem about this.
Yeah, it's so Ed's point is, and there, it's been echoed by a few on the text line as well, is the counterpoint to why, number one, it's money for the Legions, and many of the Legions are financially living day to day, so if they can rent out their hall, that's good for them. But pointing out the fact that the Legions represent those who fought for freedom of speech in Canada. So whether it's Unified Grassroots or any organization, as long as it's not illegal, and Ed points out there is a legal process for this in Canada, provinces that want to try to leave the country, then stifling that conversation is actually counterintuitive to what those that fought for Canada were fighting for, which point well taken. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.